So now I invite David to come and speak to us. So thank you for coming again, David. You're a real friend to us, coming back again and again. And we will pray a blessing upon David as he comes to speak to us. Lord, please bless David as he speaks. We bless him anyway, bless him in his life and bless his family, but bless him now as he speaks to us. Please speak powerfully through him, remind him of the things that you wanted him to say, and speak to him now as he speaks to us. Let us be fully attentive and listen, and for those words to bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Now, Chris and I actually both went to Spring Harvest this year. In the same week, we didn't actually know it till last week we were talking about this. And prayer has come up in so many ways leading to today. So, may my spoken words be true to the written word. Lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to go on a journey. It's trying to compress 3 days' worth of solid teaching into 30 minutes. So it'll be a bit rushed in places. Well, not hopefully too rushed. Now, when you're on the bus, you may see something like that in the roof. Pay attention to that. We'll come back to it later, because it ties in very strongly with today's theme of prayer. How, what, why, when. Now, we often talk of prayer as acts of prayer. You've probably heard the acronym ACTS. Adoration or worship. Confession, saying sorry. Thanksgiving. And then supplication, asking for things. Now, I actually prefer one I heard more recently, and that is pray. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield, or say yes. Pause, be still, and know that I am God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Offer yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. Now, the P, R, and Y are as equally important as the A. We do tend to get rather tied up with the A, and prayer should be a talk with God, not a one-way list of demands, though we can all get into that mode. Now, exactly where you pray, how you pray, will depend on so many things. Some of us like set words and phrases. Some speak from the heart as their spirit moves them. Some like long periods of silence. It's like any conversation. You need to let the other person speak, and you ought to listen to what they say. Thus, start with the P. Now, the Protestant church leaders for the last 500 years have put a lot of emphasis on words. That's with a lowercase W, not a big one. Lots of words, written or spoken. Now, trouble is, only about a quarter of people have word as their main style of spirituality. Some people are more spiritual with the word, some with emotions, some with symbols, some with actions. The snag is that most clergy come from the first group, and they select their successors from the same group, and we all teach the same way with lots of words. Now, Jesus actually teaches us in Matthew 23 not to use lengthy prayers. He even says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law." No. You know, all the show of lengthy prayers, and you'll be punished severely for it. A lot more clergy ought to listen to that, because it's very easy to get off into long flowing prayers and not actually give God a chance to get in there. Now, what should we pray? We've touched on the Lord's Prayer already. And rabbis or teachers would give their students a basic prayer that summed up their beliefs. The disciples said to Jesus that John the Baptist had taught his disciples how to pray. Would he do the same for them? So the Lord's Prayer, in blunt terms, a rabbinic creed, a statement of basic belief from their leader, a statement of belief 300 years before the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene Creed we all make such a fuss of. It's built on the Kadesh, which is a very ancient Jewish prayer. But in a very important difference. It's in the second person, not the third. It talks to God as Father, not about God as someone different. That talking to God was very novel in those days. It's something we tend to take a little bit for granted because we start our prayers that way. It's the fact we can talk to God. And we can make seven requests. Yeah, that's the prayer. Seven requests. First of all, may your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Don't lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Those basic seven requests are really the nub of the prayer. And we're asking God for things. In Luke's version, it's said in just 35 words. What we often forget, though, what many people don't realize, is the original Aramaic version, Jesus' language, rhymed. Most people actually don't realize this because the evangelist wrote it in Greek when it was written down for the New Testament. But when it's translated back into the Aramaic, it rhymes. It's a basic little poem. That's the way Jesus teaches. Not with big, long, flowery bits, but simple things you can remember. But it's actually quite a dangerous prayer if you really mean it. God's kingdom come on earth. That'll disturb an awful lot of things that are familiar, things that we quite like. Your will be done. He might want to use us for something really out of our comfort zone. And can I tell you from personal experience, he does. Give us our daily bread, what we need, but maybe without the jam and butter we'd like on top of it. Forgive our sins, great, but only as much as we forgive others. Ouch. Those simple things which we pray for a lot, we've done it twice already this morning, we'll do it again before we finish. It's important to realize what we're saying to our Father. To recognize that God, of course, is our Father. God tells us in Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, through Jesus in Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. We're adopted. That gives us full legal rights, along with the natural son. We can call God Abba, Father. That's really quite important. Now, I've lost my notes completely here. Right, we're adopted, we're full legal rights. God's our Father. Not being in his presence isn't an option. Pray to God as your Father, as your daddy. That's the importance of Abba. Pray with the words and thoughts that come naturally. Pray whatever is suitable and feels right. Pray whatever fits into your daily cycle. Now, you might flinch when we hear about the monastic program of seven services a day. But we can do something very similar. When we awake, just say a few words of thanks. Before starting work, or our duties, as St. Benedict calls it, ask for strength to do those tasks ahead. Break for lunch and give thanks for the morning, rededicate the afternoon. At the close of the working day, give thanks. Maybe confess things that have gone wrong. Before bed, refocus on tomorrow. You've actually just done the offices of Matins, Lauds, Sext, Vespers and Compline without realising it. If you pray at your morning and afternoon coffee breaks, you've just done Terce and Known as well, the complete set. And never realised you knew all that Latin. You don't have to use the fancy words. At those breaks in the day, just have a little prayer time. Dedicate it to God, think ahead, think back. Now, what should we pray for? Well, whatever's on your heart, and the Lord will lead you in all sorts of ways. The devil can lead you in certain ways as well, but you know, whatever's on your heart, it's important to pray about. Will God answer you? Yes. Will he do it instantly? Probably not. Will it always do as you expect? No. Will you always get the answer? Yes. No. It's important to realize that. That doesn't mean don't pray. Bring it to God. God will deal with it in his way. And do you have to ask for just godly things? Pray in God's words. We've already seen those 7 points. Let's just do a little comparison. Mark 14, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ is praying just before being arrested. Compare that with the first 4 bits of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, Abba Father, he's addressing that prayer to God. It's the same prayer. Hallowed be your name. Everything is possible for you. It's the same prayer. That last bit, yet not what I will, but what you will. Your will be done. It's the same prayer. Now, that bit in Gethsemane is apart from line 3. The Lord's Prayer says, your kingdom come. Even Christ says, take this cup from me. So even Christ can pray for things which don't seem necessarily what you think God would want. The important one is number 4. Not what I will, but what you will. Now, God has some strange ways of answering prayer. On the 16th of January 2008, I was at Heathrow, and we had a meeting one evening of all the local churches around Heathrow, who never got together because there's this thing in school, to discuss some prayer events. And at the end of the evening, I was doing the washing up, and the argument broke out between those in the north, those in the south. Those in the south wanted expansion. It was the only jobs in the area. Those in the north, expansion would wipe out their villages. And so I had to break this up gently, and I said, well, hang on. I don't care about the infrastructure or the companies or whatever. I care about the people. Now, you've got some directors, you've got some cleaners, you've got pilots, air crew, passengers, sandwich makers, taxi drivers. So many people work at Heathrow. And they said, yes, Dave, that's the point. And we had a most fantastic 10-minute prayer session on the people of Heathrow. At 1:15 the following day, the BA38 came over the fence. I mean over the fence. 5 seconds earlier, it had been on the A30. 5 seconds longer in the air, it had hit the concrete, put the wheels through the fuel tanks and burst into flames. It hit the bit of mud in between. There was one broken leg in 173 people. We do worse than that when we actually have a test evacuation. It mucked up the aircraft permanently. It really fouled up the profits of a number of organisations. Lots of infrastructure really suffered that day. The people were fine. We even had all the chaplaincy team there. It was 12:15 on a Thursday. So being 12:30, all the Catholic chaplains were in for their standard daily mass. It was a Thursday, so 12:30, all the Free Church chaplains were in for their prayer and share lunch. All the Anglican chaplains were coming in for a 1:00 meeting with the Archdeacon. We had a complete team there, and we dealt with the people accordingly. God answers our prayer for the people. And even 11 years on, I still well up when I talk about it. jump on 10 years, August the 14th, 2018. And young couple who actually had started going to church in South London and weren't great prayer warriors, they thought. Jonathan worked in the city, normally at Canary Wharf, but on this particular day he had to go to a meeting in Westminster. And so because he got up early and thought he wasn't quite sure what he'd get the early train and spend the time there rather than rush the rush hour. So at 6:30, he's walking across Westminster Bridge. And it suddenly struck him that the year before, this was the place of a great terrorist outrage, when someone had driven across and then gone stabbing people at the House of Commons. And he felt called to pray very seriously. And he spent the next hour just walking around praying, all the streets around Westminster. It wasn't there he went regularly, he didn't know it, but he just felt this need to pray for safety, security, terrorism would be defeated and all things to do with that. And about 7:30, he sat down in a local coffee shop, feeling that he'd done all he could. At 7:37, 7 minutes later, a car drove into the group of people just outside the House of Commons. Injured a couple of people, no one was killed. Two vehicles behind his car was an ambulance. The driver had been driving around for the last hour, trying to make up his mind what. He actually would have passed several times in that hour. And prayer, no one was seriously hurt in that accident. What he also discovered when he got home that evening was his wife had a great sense of premonition of something nasty happening to him, and been praying fervently at home for him during that hour. Prayer hits you where you don't expect it, when you don't expect it, for reasons you don't know about, and it's answered. So when, where should we pray? In one sense, everywhere and all the time. But Matthew 6 says, go to your private place, which is your timion. It's almost the equivalent of a first century safe room. In the middle of your house, probably no windows, the cool place, away from everybody else, and to pray. Now, the three great Jewish religious activities of the time were praying, fasting, and giving. This was before Jesus' time. This is what everyone did. Now, all of those could be done very ostentatiously. Giving could be given with a fanfare of trumpets. Now, you know I'm handing over this big check to someone. Fasting, when people look deliberately gaunt and tough, you know. Now, I'm having a really hard, no, I'm having a day without food or drink, you know. Look at me. And praying could be done with lots of elaborate words, very fancily. You'll remember the story of the priest and the sinner both praying, you know, thank you, Lord, I'm not like him. The Lord doesn't listen to that one. Well, he listens to it. He doesn't answer it the way you want it to. Now, around this time, Jesus, of course, is calling people like that hypocrites, which is the Latin for actor. You see, you're going to get all the Latin bits today. But because they are acting, they're putting on a show. But that isn't what's important. What's important is that you pray from the heart. And it says when you pray, it's not a question of, well, go away and think about it. You might want to start thinking about praying. No, it's when you pray. This is a basic assumption of where you're going to be starting from. But beware treating God just as a friend. The theologian Abraham Herschel said, God's not nice. God's not a friendly uncle. God's an earthquake. And the Lion and Witch in the Wardrobe, it's Mr. Beaver who says, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. We have to balance talking to Daddy and talking to the omnipotent, omnipresent God who can do anything, who is everywhere. God is Father, God is Daddy, but he's still God. We have access to the throne room, but in some ways just a small child, not understanding a fraction of what's really going on. Maybe you remember the story of Queen Esther fasting and praying so she could go and see the king, her husband, to plead for the life of her people. Even she had no right to see him. The sentence of approaching without his say-so was death. But he loved his wife and he pointed the golden scepter at her. Now, we don't have to be fearful, but we ought to be respectful. But of course, that can mean different things. I let my four-year-old great-nephew get away with things I wouldn't accept from his mother, my niece, though I probably let her get away with it 25 years ago. Think also of King Nehemiah, looking upset at the fate of his ancestral home, Jerusalem, praying for a solution. It was noticed by his boss. He was cupbearer to the king. That king gave him the resources to rebuild Jerusalem. We have access. And that prayer is important. That prayer, that ability to go into the throne room and pray is something we should not take for granted, but we should be very grateful for. And of course, it's where you pray, when you pray. We started on a bus. A bus on the way to work. Will God listen to you there? Now, you remember that? We started with that. About 3 years ago, a member of the Archbishop of Canterbury's staff had 24 hours notice to produce a logo for the Thy Kingdom Come initiative. Various things had gone wrong, and she was suddenly given this job of fix it. And she's sitting on the bus en route to the office and praying and appealing to God to sort this one, Lord. And she looked up and she saw something like that in the ceiling and felt called to take a photograph of it. Now, lots of things happened that day that just fell into place that had never happened before. Like finding a graphic design company who just had a major job fall through and was available. And 24 hours later, that had turned into that, which you may recognize. You may recognize it in various forms. Thy kingdom come. The cross. The ripple effect. An internationally acceptable symbol. And something that tells you a lot about God, about Christ, about the church, the ability to spread out from the center. So many things are summed up in that very simple little logo. Now, initially, Thy Kingdom Come was thought of in 2016 that just it would be a one-off event. They'd try it. Now, big prayer events like that weren't normal in the church, certainly not the gathered church, certainly not in the Church of England. And it was suggested that maybe they could try it in three cathedral services. And John Sensmoor, the Archbishop of York, said, no, you've got to do it in at least seven. It's now a worldwide prayer initiative across continents and denominations. And there are thousands of events between Ascension Day and Pentecost. And Ascension Day, of course, is at the end of this month, only a few weeks away. There are going to be lots of Thy Kingdom Come events all over the place, some quite big ones just down the road in Canterbury. And prayer together is the essence of prayer. Our Father, not my Father, our Father. One of the quotes that I got from Spring Harvest, and I forgot to note where it came from, is that all great revivals in the church started with revivals in prayer. And at this time, lots of things are coming together in the world in general, and this area in particular, bringing us to a time of prayer. Thy Kingdom Come, the school's prayer fortnight, so many bits and pieces, so many things that Chris and I quite independently dealt with and came to for this service. The hymn we sang just now, which ended with Thy Kingdom Come. Life is a pilgrimage, and we're going there for Christ's glory and his kingdom. What you may not realize is that hymn was actually written by one Robert Willis. He's the Dean of Canterbury Cathedral. So even the what you think of as the very formal, the very staid, fits here, fits with all of us. So whether you're on a bus going to work, walking in the streets of your town, in a private inner room, or with the church as a whole, don't ignore your Father in heaven. Do as Jesus instructed. Pray. Amen. We move on now to a time of prayer. And as we said before, it's a question of doing it in whatever form and way seems right for you. Whether you want to shut your eyes, stand up with your hands in the air, doesn't matter. Christ, Father, the Spirit, who is with us, will listen to it in any form going. The Lord's Prayer, of course, is important, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But as we move to this time of prayer, let's start off by pausing. Let's reflect on any parts of the service or my talk that seem to be speaking to you. And reflect on what God wants to say to you. Be still and listen. even though our God is awesome, holy and almighty, we can still come into his presence when we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us rejoice. Let's praise God for being God. Let's thank him for what he's done in your lives, the lives of others. And let's just rejoice in the wonder of God. Pray for those amazing things he's given us, the incredible privilege of being able to talk with him and to know he hears and answers. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for who you are, for what you are, holy and loving. Lord God, we just adore you for being God. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for your Spirit, our Comforter. And let's bring our petitions, our supplications, our intercessions to God as we ask him to meet the many needs of the church, the world, our neighbours, our friends and neighbours, and ourselves, with whatever words seem relevant. Today, in the school's fortnight, let's pray for renewed encouragement for Christian parents, teachers and other staff, for school workers, students and others, as they engage with their local schools, as they search for ways of letting you be known to a new generation. We ask for your support for all the Thy Kingdom Come initiatives. We pray your blessing on the world, your world, on all nations. Guide all those in authority over the lives of others, whether politicians or parents, that you will give them your wisdom and your peace. We pray for all those known to us who need your healing spirit of love, especially those in places known only to you, and heal them and meet them in that place which will give them the greatest healing. I bring before you Rob, Trevor, Betty and Michael, that you will meet with each of them in their place of need. And that we all think, either or silently in our hearts, of those who need your love in their lives, Lord. So let us offer up ourselves, yield ourselves to God, to do our part in his plan, answering yes when he asks you to move and do something, or sometimes to stay and persevere. Holy God, holy and strong, we offer ourselves again to you. Strengthen us, lead us, protect us. Help us to do what you ask, that your kingdom does indeed come. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's bring these prayers together in the words Jesus taught us, using any translation or version or language that you want, traditional or new. He understands them all. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.